A few days later, when Dan Fisher returned from a business trip, he asked to meet with me. There was a problem. Merrill was in hiding, and the police had not been able to serve him with the order of protection. In truth, he said, I didn't have much protection until Merrill was actually served. The police wanted me to lure him into a trap. In the 3 weeks since my escape, I had tried to face every fear head on. This felt like the ultimate challenge. I didn't think I could do it. The thought of seeing Merrill again made me shut down. Dan said that since Merrill was still hounding Arthur about seeing me, we had an easy way to make this happen. He urged me to set this in motion. I trusted Dan and finally agreed. We talked it through. The key was that I could only meet Merrill in a public place. There would be undercover cops there, so I'd have some protection. But that didn't make me feel safe. I had lived under Merrill's tyranny for 17 years and had seen how hard he had come down on wives who disobeyed him. I had embarrassed him in the eyes of the entire community. Now everyone knew he did not have his family under control. Other women had fled the FLDS, but I was unaware of any who had made it out with all their children, nor did I know of any who were ever granted full custody in court. No one had ever fled from a man as powerful within the FLDS as Merrill Jessup. In taking on Merrill, I knew I was taking on the cult. If meeting with him was the next price I had to pay for our freedom, so be it. I told Arthur I would meet his father in the produce section of a local store named Smith's the next morning. Arthur made all the arrangements and came with me. When we walked into the store, I was approached by one of the undercover police. He told me not to worry, I'd be safe. Arthur lit into me. What are you doing? You set a trap for father. Your father gave me no other option, I said. When Merrill walked into the store, he met Arthur and the police. He was served with the protection order. Merrill insisted he be allowed to speak. The police agreed under the condition that they be close by. Merrill kept his voice low. His eyes were on fire. What you have done is inexcusable, he said. You'll never get away with this. If you know what's best for you, you'll stop right now. I knew better than to argue with him. I let him rant. He insisted that the custody case I filed in Utah would be thrown out of court or transferred to Arizona. You'll never win because the children don't want to be with you. They all want to be with me. You have yourself in a position where you'll never see your children again. I felt calm in the face of his wrath. I knew that more than anything else, he wanted to feel my fear. I would not give him that pleasure. Merrill, I think a judge will look at this whole case and not just your side. This made him even angrier. Carolyn, your very existence is on the line with the course you are pursuing. The police were watching his tirade and finally told Merrill he had had enough time. She's blown this all out of proportion. There's no reason for an order of protection, he said. You can make that case in court in 2 weeks, the officer said. If it's not necessary, it will be removed. Merrill lashed at me again. See what you've done. We can't talk to each other for 2 more weeks. I had no intention of ever speaking to him again, but I was concerned that he might succeed in getting the case transferred to Arizona. 2 weeks later, Merrill and I faced off again in a Salt Lake City courtroom. Merrill had retained Rodney Parker, an attorney who has made his fortune defending the FLDS in court. Parker acted as though this was all a big joke, and maybe to him it was. But I think I caught him off guard when he looked at me for the first time. I didn't look like some whack job. Women who fled the FLDS were always portrayed as totally insane and under the influence of the devil, and while Parker could tell I was scared, he also realized I wasn't crazy. Rodney Parker argued that Arizona should have jurisdiction over this case. The judge corrected him and said that Arizona could release it to Utah and she would request that. Parker did not seem prepared for this. He started arguing about the order of protection. My attorney made a motion to speak with the judge. He told her Merrill had threatened me by saying my existence was on the line in front of 3 police officers standing nearby. Parker looked stricken and turned to Merrill and started talking. Merrill had obviously not been completely forthcoming with him. A few days later, I learned that my case would be heard in Utah. A big win.